What if menopause isn't your body breaking down? What if everything you've been told about hot flashes, brain fog, weight gain, and mood swings is missing the biggest piece of the puzzle? Today, we're talking about the tiny part of your brain that may be controlling it all and why understanding it can change everything. Welcome back to the show. If you're a woman in your late 30s, 40s, or 50s, or you love someone who is, this episode is for you. So many women are told that perimenopause and menopause are simply something to survive. You're told it's just your hormones. You're getting older. Think of it as an awakening. Or this is just how life is going to be now. But what if that's only part of the story? Today's guest believes we've been looking in the wrong places. Deborah Maropoulos, board-certified family nurse practitioner, founder of Genesis Health Products, creator of Genesis Gold, and Sacred Seven, author of 6 books, including the Hypothalamus Handbook, and known internationally as the Hormone Queen for more than 30 years, is here to talk about all things perimenopause and menopause. And she has helped people uncover the root causes behind complex hormone and health challenges. Today, she's going to explain why menopause isn't simply an ovarian issue. It may actually be a transition happening in the brain. So Deborah, welcome back. It's so great to have you here. This is a big, big topic. Big, big topic.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, it's a big topic. So many of us are going through this transition right now. And, you know, the story that we tell women, the story you've been told as a woman, is that somehow your ovaries are failing. And that's why you're having hot flashes and mood swings. And you don't even feel the same in your body. And you're trying so hard to lose that weight. And it's all around your belly. No matter what you eat and how much you exercise, it's just sticking to you. Maybe you have a little brain fog, your libido's gone, your vagina's dry. Things are not right. And you've been told that your ovaries, and I'm telling you, it's a different story. It's actually up higher. It's upstream in the hypothalamus. It's a small gland in your brain sitting right above the brainstem that orchestrates not just your ovarian hormones, but all of your hormones. So it isn't just estrogen, progesterone that's affected during this menopausal transition, but your thyroid, your adrenals, your glucose sensitivity, everything is affected. And you know that. You feel that as a woman, that everything is just off now. I'm reacting to food differently. I'm reacting to the way I'm even touched differently. My body feels different. Something is happening inside. And oftentimes you go and are told by your provider, well, this is just the way it is. You know, you're 50. You're just going to have to live with it. This is menopause. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live this way.
So if ovaries aren't the primary problem and the hypothalamus is, what role does it play during this transition for women?
Well, the hypothalamus has always been the orchestrator of your entire symphony of hormones. So not just your ovaries, but your thyroid gland, your adrenal gland, your pancreas, and your gonads. So ovaries in a female. It's telling those glands how much of the hormones to produce. And it has to orchestrate the entire symphony, not just the ovaries. It's got to look at it all. It is also controlling your neurotransmitters. It's talking to your gut. It's controlling your autonomic nervous system. There's so much that it's controlling that when your ovaries start to decline, which is natural, we all go through this. You're only born with so many eggs, so many ovum, and you only have so many going into puberty, and you waste quite a few hundred every single month that you ovulate. So by the time you've had 35 years or so of reproductive cycles, you run out of those eggs. You run out of ovum. So you do not have the ability to produce progesterone and then estrogen. You're still producing a little testosterone through postmenopause, but not nearly the sex steroids you had before. And that throws the hypothalamus off. Because that while the transition is normal, it's been used to you producing this for 35 years. Okay. Less for some women, a little more for others. And that starts the whole tumbling down of the miscommunication between the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the ovary. And that starts thyroid issues, adrenal issues, growth hormone issues, and you experience it as your weight's out of control and you're moody and maybe you're not quite menopausal yet. You haven't had the last period and you're bleeding all over the place. Any time of the month, sometimes really heavy, sometimes you're skipping cycles. your vagina, your bladder, everything's kind of dry. Maybe you're having more UTIs, more urinary tract infections. You don't feel as motivated. You have brain fog. You know, walk into a room and you forget why you walked into that room. You just don't feel the same. You feel like everything's changing. You may not have the full wrinkles yet, but you can tell your skin's different. It's a little drier, a little crepier. You just don't have that moisture. And that's because your hormones, those sex hormones are down. They're gone. Sure. You're not producing it. But it's all those other effects, the brain fog and the lack of motivation and the desire, the ability to think properly, the moodiness. That's all because the hypothalamus is controlling the picture. And even that weight gain, it's because you are no longer reproductively viable. So you're storing everything you're putting in your mouth, even though it's the same as you did 10 years ago, now into this little buoy around your middle. We call it the insulin meter, so that you can survive hopefully the next 10, 20, 30 years. It doesn't have to be this way if you support your hypothalamus.
So do you think one of the biggest reasons that women feel dismissed is because they're essentially only being treated for the symptoms instead of what's actually driving the symptoms?
Absolutely. So most of the time we're given maybe one hormone or two. Maybe you start with progesterone, which is a good place to start. And then you're giving some estradiol, but maybe you're given some vaginal estrogen. So you're given a few hormones, but you're also feeling that crash in the middle of the afternoon, which is saying that your adrenals are not functioning like it used to. You're tired, fatigued first thing in the morning, or your hair is falling out, your skin's really dry, you're constipated, which suggests your thyroid's not functioning like you used to. You might have some anxiety and depression that you never had before. You may even have kick up of emotional issues from when you were a kid, kick up now. And that's because you're really not making the same neurotransmitters you used to. And that's all because the hypothalamus is dysregulated by the ovaries going offline. Okay. And we need to help the hypothalamus get regulated to a natural transition. We can do it in a lot of different ways. But if you help the hypothalamus, then the thyroid will stay online, the adrenals stay online, and you know, the brain is actually functioning more normally. In fact, in cultures that have less stress than we do at least in the United States, a lot of modern cultures that are, you know, we're on the screens all the time and we're just so stressed out and women are trying to do it all. You're in the sandwich generation where you may still have kids at home, but you also have elderly parents to take care of. All of the stress is piling up. Your adrenal glands are not where they should be when you reach menopause. And in the cultures that have less stress than we do, they're more family oriented. They have multiple generations living together. They're able to help one another. We see their adrenal glands functioning past menopause, and that allows them to make some of those same sex steroids from adrenal production to kind of carry them through. They don't age. They don't look as old as we do at the same age because their adrenals are carrying them past menopause. We don't see that in our culture where we're so stressed out. So if the hypothalamus is better supported, you get adrenal function past menopause. We're not going to save those eggs, but we can get your adrenals and your thyroid, your pancreas, your brain functioning better.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it just creeps up too. Like for me, I'm going to be 42 this year. And in the winter, I woke up one day and like everything was different. Like everything was, I was so anxious for no reason, just super unmotivated. And my mornings were so hard. It was like so hard to get out of bed and do anything. It just happens so fast. Like it comes out of nowhere, it feels like. So yeah, it's really, really great to get a handle on all this stuff, to understand it so that we can do something about it. You mentioned something called, is it called kisspeptin neurons in your work? Can you explain those in a way people can understand?
So the hypothalamus is made of multiple neurons, multiple nerve cells, and it's also an endocrine gland. So we consider it a neuroendocrine gland. So it's a bunch of nerve cells that produce hormones that are master hormones that tell the pituitary gland and the lower body what to do. So it does multiple functions. One of those types of nerve cells are called kisspeptin nerves, and it's K-I-S-S, kisspeptin. I love that word. So this kid, we've just now looked at these neurons to see, okay, are they really at the center of what's really going on with in perimenopause and menopause? And in fact, they are. Those kisspeptin nerves are what actually control what we call the GnRH, or the signal from the hypothalamus that actually tells the pituitary gland to release follicle stimulating hormone so that you release estrogen and ovulate, and then release luteinizing hormone so that you ovulate and release progesterone. That mechanism is in the kisspeptin neurons. Now, why would that be important? Because it's also controlling your thyroid and your adrenal glands too. So that same neurological structure is controlling three major endocrine functions. So when it goes off balance, it's like an operating system that's not functioning very well. It can't really control the adrenals or the thyroid as well. So you will show signs of low thyroid. Maybe you're constipated and your skin's dry and your hair's falling out. You're losing the last outer third of your eyebrows, really classic hypothyroid symptoms. If you're tired, but if you keep moving, you seem to be okay until you sit down, then you want to fall asleep. That's classic low thyroid energy, but it may not be showing up on the blood work. It may just be a miscommunication where your TSH is low end of normal and your T3 and T4 are low end of normal. And they're saying, well, they're in normal limits, but together that's not what they should look like. They should be opposite of one another. And so we're losing the feedback mechanism. And then you're not producing as much cortisol as you used to. You're not producing as much adrenaline, as much DHEA as you used to. Those are all adrenal gland functions. And that's, we're seeing that as well. Again, you're not in the point of being a disease. You don't have adrenal insufficiency, but you're not making what you used to make. And so you don't have that foundational support. So you're not handling stress as well. You don't have the motivation. You get freaked out about the littlest things. And you're like, I never snapped like this. I was never so irritable. Why is my PMS so bad? You can even get what I call it the hormonal flu, or the perimenopausal flu, where you feel like you're coming down with the flu. A fever, achy. And you swear you're coming down with something, and then you start your period and it's all over. And that's that decline we normally see in your natural reproductive hormones is so drastic for the immune system and sets off the hypothalamus as an inflammatory response that you react immune-wise like you're being attacked by a virus. And it's all because the hormones are so erratic. So those kisspeptin neurons control the thyroid and the adrenal glands, those one set of neurons in the hypothalamus. So that's why you have such a variety of symptoms, and your doctor or your healthcare provider may be just throwing progesterone and estrogen at you, and that's not going to be enough.
Well, that literally just happened to me last week, talking about the drastic, dramatic hormone event. I was late for my cycle and I was at the grocery store, and there was a couple people near me, and they were not playing with, but they were picking up chip bags, and the sound of the chip bags and multiple people picking up loud bags, it like almost threw me into, like, I was so frustrated and so mad I couldn't handle it. I was so overstimulated and got really exhausted. And the next day my period came and I felt like I could conquer the world. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is absolutely crazy. Like it's really, I'm laughing about it now, but it's not fun. Like, it's really challenging to do regular things that I used to do. And like, there's millions of people going through this. I find it really interesting that then hot flashes are actually a brain event. They wouldn't be considered an ovarian event like most people think. Is that true?
Absolutely. And I'm sorry that happened to you, but be prepared for more. If you can start supporting your hypothalamus, it won't be so drastic. It's kind of eases all these symptoms. But yes, hot flashes are an event in the brain, particularly the hypothalamus. So when we think of the brain, we think of our cognitive abilities, that big, you know, wrinkly structure that you see, you know, when you draw a picture of it, you see a graphic. The hypothalamus is just a little almond-shaped gland above the brain stem, and the big globes of the brain sit on top of that. So it's not very big, and it's not protected by the blood-brain barrier, and it controls your temperature. It regulates your temperature. There's a perfect temperature gauge that you need to be at in order for all of your cellular activities and your systems to work at. If it gets too high, we call it a fever. That usually is an immune system reaction. If it's too low, you're metabolically sluggish. So there's this perfect temperature gauge, and it's your hypothalamus that controls that, partially through the thyroid, through T3 production, to then stimulate the mitochondria and the cells, the little powerhouses, to make energy. but it's very, very sensitive to the changes in any of those three hormone levels, thyroid, adrenals, and ovaries. Any of those hormones start getting messed with, you will have temperature regulation issues. So you're cold when everyone else is hot, you're hot when everyone else is cold. All of a sudden, the synthetic materials you're wearing feel like your skin is suffocating. I used to laugh at my mom, and now I don't anymore. But she, when she was going through it, she could only wear like cotton and silk. You know, she couldn't wear any synthetic materials. And then once I started going through menopause, probably I went through menopause later. I was like in my mid-50s where I was finally done. And so within about a couple years of that, I totally understood what she was talking about. Like all of a sudden, I could not wear any kind of synthetic materials without feeling
the temperature. Because
I couldn't regulate my temperature. I felt my skin was suffocating. And it was a temperature regulation issue. So it is really, really interesting what we go through, that we try to blame on the ovaries, but it's really the hypothalamus that is needing help.
Well, I hear women talk about all the time that they're on hormone replacement therapy and they're still experiencing symptoms.
That is super common. And that's because the hormones that you're usually given as a replacement therapy, number one, are usually fairly low dose, which is not a bad thing. Number two is sometimes they're synthetic. I don't agree with those. I prefer bioidenticals. So hopefully you're getting bioidenticals. Sometimes you're given birth control pills when you're at your age, when you're in your early 40s. They're like, oh, let's put you on the pill. That'll take care of it. But it's not the same type of hormones, and it's not in the same fluctuation that you normally got. And we're basing it on levels you have now and not when you were at your reproductive prime in your like 20s. So nobody checks you then. So I'll give you an example that, you know, I've always believed this, but I never got to see it with my own eyes. And that's when my twin sisters went through the change, which was in their mid 40s. Okay. They started going through the change, and they're identical twins. Okay. They went through puberty about the same time. They went through the change at about the same time, but one of them has a very curvy figure and the other has more of an athletic figure. They both had their FSH, follicle stimulating hormone, drawn. If it's over 30, you're menopausal. They were like in the hundreds. They were like just around 100. But the athletic twin, her shape was more athletic. She actually had an estradiol level in the 30s. Her curvy twin sister, had her estradiol level in the hundreds itself. And they were both having an FSH of over 100. So that was the hypothalamus pituitary gland telling the ovaries, I need you to make what you used to make. And if we just looked at the estradiol level of the curvy twin, we would have told her that she was fine, because that over 100 is great for a woman in menopause. But is it? If you were a normal average 200-300 during your cycle, that's not enough for you. Does that make sense? So just looking at the hormones, you got to look at what's happening for that person.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue, is you're going to mainstream doctors who are taking your blood and they're looking at these numbers and saying you're in the right zone, like you shouldn't be feeling this way, or we're not going to treat you because your hormone levels look great. And that's the biggest frustration that women are facing right now. And therefore, it's causing them to look elsewhere and hiring private clinics and doing the things that they need to do. But I just really think it's a matter of most people not having enough information and the right information.
Well, and even in the private clinics, they're still chasing the individual hormones. They're still treating downstream. They're not looking at the hypothalamus, the upstream driver, all these downstream symptoms. Every single one of those downstream symptoms is because the hypothalamus is dysregulated, except collagen issues. So the wrinkling of the skin, the joints, that's a lack of enough estrogen and progesterone in the system, and that can cause some breakdown of those tissues, so you're not making as much collagen. So topically, that works really well. Systemically, maybe not, won't get to those tissue levels. It's why vaginal estrogen works so well topically. And you don't get that same systemic effect when you take it systemically to really improve the vagina and the urethra and have good bladder control and make enough lubrication, because you're getting that topical effect. That's great. But the hypothalamus is driving all the rest of the symptoms. So you can placate it with a little bit of hormone replacement therapy, but you will be chasing it constantly, and you will be dependent on your provider to keep adjusting your doses constantly as you go through this transition until you finally just give up and say, heck with it, I'm just going to live with this. And then you just start declining.
So if you treat the root cause, would you not have to be on hormone replacement therapy, or is it still different for every woman? The reason I'm asking, I'm genuinely curious. And two, I just started hormone therapy, so I want to get all the information.
So in my practice, the majority of my patients were taking hormone therapy, bioidentical. When I started treating their hypothalamus nutraceutically and also with some lifestyle things to do, what would happen is they would need a lot less hormones so we could lower their dose. They would need it a lot less long. They wouldn't need it as long. So I used it like during the transition. And they just didn't need so much of a variety. We got better adrenal support. So they didn't need full adrenal support. Their thyroid regulated. Remember, they ran out of eggs. They can't make any more of that same level of estrogen and progesterone. So they may need a little bit of support, but a lot less than what they did to start with just to control their symptoms. So once the hypothalamus is regulated, you may need a lot less. I have quite a few people, you hear the stories of my grandmother didn't have any symptoms and my mom didn't have any symptoms. There are some of those women that just don't seem very symptomatic. They do really well on just hypothalamic support. And they don't need the extra estrogen and progesterone. Okay. But the majority of the people I see are pretty hormonally challenged per se. They have a lot of hormones out of balance, a lot of glands affected. So we'll give them the bioidentical support until their hypothalamus is healed and recovered, which takes some time. It's not overnight.
That makes sense. How much of our careers and children and caring for aging parents, running households, not getting enough sleep, how much of that chronic stress that we're living every day affecting the menopause experience?
Terribly, in the sense that when your HPA axis, that hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, is always firing as if you're being chased by a tiger, but it's really because you're having to take care of your mom and you got kids that you got to get to school and your husband's, bugging you about something, or you've got bills late and your boss is bugging you about something. There's all these other stressors. They're not life and death, but they build up. And they're over time and they're chronic. And you just get used to running like there's a fire behind you all the time. That wears out that HPA axis. It's literally like somebody crying wolf all the time, where the hypothalamus then becomes a little resistant to what it's reading in terms of the cortisol levels and eventually stops stimulating the adrenals to produce so much because it's been told there was a fire or a tiger and there really wasn't. So that resistance happens at the hypothalamic level. It develops insulin resistance, develops thyroid resistance, it develops all kinds of resistance when it's overwhelmed by something, which is why you never want to use too much hormones. You don't want to overwhelm the system. You want it to be kind of a natural ebb and flow. That stress can actually cause the hypothalamus to become dysregulated way before you even enter menopause, which is why I believe, and what we're seeing in research, so many women are going through perimenopause much earlier. The average age of menopause worldwide is around 51 and a half years of age, but we're seeing perimenopause, which used to start maybe 3 to 5 years before, starting 10 to 15 years before. They're already starting to feel that imbalance. Part of that is because your adrenal glands use progesterone to actually make cortisol. So you, literally, your ovaries are being robbed of progesterone to run your stress response. So your adrenals are basically robbing it, and you're going to wear out sooner. So that's part of the issue. And the other part is this miscommunication where you're, crying wolf all the time. At least the lower glands are, when it really isn't a life or death situation, but it feels like it. And finally, the hypothalamus has to ignore what's going on here so it can deal with everything else, which it does. It has to deal with your cardiovascular system, your kidneys, your liver. I mean, it's literally keeping you alive. And if the adrenals are chronically crying wolf, it's going to shut down its response to the adrenal glands.
Is that what you mean by cortisol competing with progesterone?
Yes. Yes. There's this it's more of stealing than borrowing. But so your adrenal glands, when you're reproductively active, make about 5, maximum 10% of their own progesterone precursor to become cortisol. Otherwise, they depend on your ovaries. So when you're going through perimenopause, and that's the big hormone that drops is progesterone, you're making a lot less of that, which is leading to the PMS and the mood swings and all of that. The adrenals don't have enough to support that stress response. So you end up feeling like what didn't bother you before, like somebody picking up a bag of chips, is like somebody scratching their nails on a chalkboard. It's so irritating to you. Your nervous system has never been that irritated before. And now it is.
Yeah, it was like a rage. Like I was so frustrated. It was very interesting. And I always find poor sleep makes it worse. And not only one, like I can go out one night of the week and stay out late, and that messes me up for days now, whereas that never used to happen. So why does poor sleep make everything worse?
Because during the night when you're sleeping and you're in deep sleep, that's when the hypothalamus can go into its nocturnal mode where it's cleaning house. The cortisol levels should be really low. You should have lots of melatonin, immune system's functioning. The hypothalamus has a whole different mode at night than it does during the day. Okay. It's always on, but that's the time where it's kind of resetting itself. And if you miss sleep, it can't reset. Now, when you're younger, you're in your 20s in college and you're missing, you know, night after night, you're able to recover. Part of that is because you make a lot of growth hormone, which is produced by the hypothalamus to allow you to recover from all those nights of sleep missed. But when you're older, you're in your 40s and older than that, you're not making as much of that recovery hormone because the hypothalamus is barely keeping things up. And so when you miss one night of sleep, it's got to catch up for repair, and it just doesn't have the resources it used to. If you're supporting your hypothalamus nutraceutically, you have a little more play there. You're able to miss a night and you're totally not going to, you know, be wasted. You may have to take a nap the next day, but you're not going to be totally wasted like you're taking days to catch up like you are without that support. So sleep is...
Yeah, another thing I hear is alcohol reacting differently in women's bodies when they're going through this as well. And I know alcohol is really bad for you in general, but why is alcohol even harder to tolerate when women get older?
So alcohol, when you drink alcohol, especially at night, it feels like you're going to fall asleep because it raises some of that serotonin level, which converts to melatonin, but it's kind of a false stimulus. You know, it's like giving gas that really isn't there. And then you run out in the middle of the night. So you end up waking up 2-3 hours after you fell asleep, like you're wide awake again because you really didn't have the melatonin levels to start with. Part of it is the toxicity of it and the detoxification process, but a lot has to do with how it manipulates your neurotransmitters. And so it pulls you out of that nocturnal mode. And it's harder to detoxify as we get older. We just don't have all of those resources that we did when we were younger, but mainly it's because your hypothalamus is really, really sensitive to inflammation and toxins. And the alcohol becomes one more toxin it's having to deal with when it's already dealing with the toxins that are just accumulated with the aging process, because cells are getting older and it's having to deal with all of those toxins. Plus it doesn't have your ovarian support that it used to. So like one of the players on the team is not on the team like it used to be. They can't depend on it anymore. So it's trying to like deal with, the team is short. And so the inflammation becomes massive to the hypothalamus. When before you were able to drink, you know, now you can maybe have one glass of wine. Maybe before you could go out and, you know, have quite a few cocktails, but you can't do that anymore because you will not be able to sleep and you won't recover.
What about nutrition? How important is nutrition during this transition?
Nutrition is very important. What you put into your body is, you know, you are what you eat, but it's literally the micronutrients that the hypothalamus has to work with. And it's super sensitive to micronutrients. It knows what you're eating. It's literally reading fatty acids, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, cofactors, and it's literally trying to guide your appetite. But sometimes the messages get kind of messed up. And, you know, when it needs something to boost the serotonin, it's guiding you to sweets when it really needs, you know, something different. Although I got to say, dark chocolate, the natural serotonin booster in small amounts, and it's the cocoa part of it because it's very anti-inflammatory. But we tend to overdo it when we're in perimenopause because it's like we can't get enough of it. You know, it's a great medicine in small amounts. Otherwise, it becomes one more thing we get kind of addicted to. So, but nutrition is super important. A plant-based diet, I like all of my patients to follow kind of a Mediterranean type diet where they're really, really plant-based. They're getting healthy fats. They're getting enough protein for their lean body mass, a wide variety of plant foods. It really makes a difference. And not just because my last name is Maragopoulos, which is Greek, and I'm Italian. It's because it has the most studies on it as an anti-inflammatory diet, the lowest risk of cancer, the lowest risk of chronic diseases.
Yeah, amazing. It's a lot of work. It just is exhausting, you know, and it gets to be really frustrating. A lot of women are on the go a lot, and I mean, we have to put so much thought into our everyday life, but I guess that's all part of it.
Yep. Every single day we got to think about these things. If what I find though is in my patients who use my nutraceutical support, my Genesis Gold, I find that they kind of crave what they need. They're not having to do it by the book. They're not having to do it by what somebody taught them. Their body starts talking to them. In the beginning, it may seem a little crazy, but it'll make sense once you start to heal. Like, so for instance, I was in my like 39 when I started taking the beta of this product. Not close to perimenopause, but I had what's called hypothalamic amenorrhea, which basically mean I didn't have periods on my own. I had to take hormones to have periods. It's also called runner's amenorrhea, which means you're just too lean. So that happened. And within about 3 weeks of starting the beta product, I was craving meat. Now I had been a vegetarian for 7 years, but I mean like craving chicken like chocolate. Okay. And I just had to have it. So I gave into that. And all of a sudden I started feeling better. And about 6 months into it, we hit the fall equinox. And during the fall equinox, I usually would just have to prepare myself that by Thanksgiving, I was going to have seasonal affective disorder. I was just going to be depressed. I was in a funk, and it happened every single year. I started craving at the fall equinox orange vegetables. I couldn't get enough yams, butternut squash, pumpkin. So I ate it. I haven't had seasonal affective disorder since. That was 26 years ago. Okay. It's really crazy when your hypothalamus gets what it needs, it will tell you what else it needs, where you have holes in your diet, where you have holes in your activity level, the kind of sleep you need. You actually, so all the things you know you should do, your hypothalamus starts talking to you, like shut the screen down after dark so that you can get some deeper sleep. Read a book instead. It's easier to follow when your hypothalamus is supported because you want to do that. You crave to do that. You crave social interaction. You also start listening to like, how much of these hormones do I really need if you are on bioidenticals, and your body starts talking to you. Like, I don't feel like I need as much of that one, or I need a little bit more of this one. And you can check it with your healthcare provider, but your body will talk to you.
Absolutely. You got to start listening to that. But it's hard when your body's not healthy, like you said. Once your body is healthy, then it tells you exactly what it wants. It's funny you said that. I had the same thing happen to me with meat. I was total vegetarian, just eating vegetables and beans and stuff. And when I started looking after my hormones, I craved steak. Like, I'm talking like juicy, bloody steaks. And I went to the butcher and I bought these giant steaks and I just went to town on them for like a week straight and felt amazing after. Not a vegetarian anymore. It's so wild. And the body knows what it needs. I think I was iron deficient in that case,
It's
but you
very
never
possible.
know.
It's very possible because when you're going through perimenopause, you end up having kind of irregular periods, but because you're making less progesterone, you have more estrogen buildup of the uterine lining. So your periods can be a little heavier, a little cloudier, and you can get a little deficient. Your ferritin levels, which is your iron storage levels, will go down. So your hemoglobin may not be abnormal yet, but your hypothalamus is reading those ferritin levels, and we need to get some meat. We need iron in here. And we can get that from a bloody steak faster than we can get that from greens, especially if she's not cooking her greens properly. We're not going to be able to absorb it. And the secret to cooking your greens properly is you want to saute them in olive oil and then squeeze a little lemon juice, some kind of acid like lemon juice or lime juice on it. And that citric acid helps your body absorb the minerals in those greens. Most of us haven't learned how to do that. So I have lots cooking tips in my trainings and stuff because it is what you eat. It's absolutely what you eat.
Yes. And to anyone out there listening right now, and if you're listening to this conversation and thinking, that is me, Deborah has created a free hypothalamus reset bundle to help you better understand what's happening inside your body and where to begin. So you're going to find that in the link in the show notes today. So if that feels like you, please go to that and take it and see what you find out.
Yeah, my hypothalamus reset bundle is that hypothalamus handbook that I sent to you, Lisa. in an ebook form, but I also did video case studies in there so you can see your pattern, because a lot of people aren't big readers, but they want to watch. And so I do graphics, and it's like I'm teaching a little mini class, and they're short, so you're not there forever. So you can really see your pattern. But inside of this little bundle are, you know, my diets and everything that I would normally prescribe for my patients are there. So you can really, you know, one like these tricks like olive oil and lemon juice on your greens, so that you can really feed your body what it needs and learn about your body and understand your hypothalamus. It's at thehormonequeen.com/advisor.
Amazing. I want to just talk a little bit more about HRT. So hormone replacement therapy being incomplete. So I understand that it's incomplete, like by what we talked about so far. And what I want to know is, what does the hypothalamic support add to all of that? And how do both approaches work together?
That's a great question. Well, when you use hypothalamic support, I created a nutraceutical called Genesis Gold because there wasn't any plant-based hypothalamic support out there that is complete and foundational. The core of it are amino acids. I call them my sacred seven amino acids. And that they are really designed to support the hypothalamus directly. But with around that are sea vegetation, phytonutrients from whole plant foods, as well as sprouted plant foods, botanicals that act as adaptogens, as well as detoxification support, digestive aid. So everything the hypothalamus needs, which I used to send my patients out with bottles and bottles of stuff, it's all in one formula, synchronistically blended. When my patients have taken this, and it's been out for over 20 years, so I have a lot of history with this. What I find is that their hypothalamus starts regulating and everything starts coming back on board. Their adrenal glands are functioning better, so they're not getting those afternoon crashes. Their thyroid's functioning better, so their hair's not falling out. They're not constipated anymore. They need a lot less estradiol and progesterone support. We just don't need to give them as much. They need less topical vaginal support. The majority of my patients on Genesis Gold, even if they're taking HRT, do not use vaginal estrogens because they are lubricated enough. Their cells are juicy everywhere. Okay. They just need a lot less support. And what happens is they're able to sleep through the night. Their moods are better. They're feeling like much more balanced. They handle stress better. They dream and they remember their dreams, which is a very classic sign that your hypothalamus is recovering, because you're making enough dopamine in the morning from the hypothalamus to actually recall what you just dreamt. And that's the neurotransmitter that the hypothalamus makes to wake you up and get you motivated to start your day. So if you're not bouncing out of bed, you're not making enough dopamine. Okay.
If you're experiencing any of the perimenopause symptoms, is it good for everybody? And are there any people who should be staying away from it?
That's a great question. So far I've treated perimenopausal women, menopausal women, postmenopausal women, men as well, going through their hormone changes. We call it andropause or low T or hypogonadism. Younger women with infertility or polycystic ovary syndrome. It also supports proper hormone functioning there, and also acts as a regulator of the metabolism. Polycystic ovary syndrome is really a metabolic condition. It helps with people with mood disorders, learning disabilities, dementia, because the hypothalamus controls those neurotransmitters that control moods and learning and concentration and focus. It helps with people with gut issues because the hypothalamus talks directly to the gut microbiome. People with irritable bowel, it can help to regulate some of the motility issues there. So it really is a full hypothalamic support. The only time I have a patient have a problem with it is if they are hyperthyroid. And that's because the sea vegetation in it can actually be a little stimulating for someone who is hyperthyroid. So I actually have them start on just the sacred seven amino acids to correct the hypothalamic pituitary thyroid axis. So that's the only case that I've seen in over 20 years where they needed a little bit different support to start with. But autoimmune,
because they have overactive thyroid.
Yeah. And you know, sea vegetation is super rich in iodine. When you're hypothyroid, it's great. When you're hyperthyroid, overactive, it can actually stimulate it a little bit more. So we give them just the amino acids, just the sacred seven amino acids.
So Deborah, you mentioned you brought a patient story with you today to tell us. Can you talk to us about the patient story?
Yeah. So this woman was 47 years old. Now, none of my patients are simple. So she just wasn't just perimenopausal. She had hot flashes. She had insomnia. She had brain fog. She was getting moody. She had gone through the irregular periods. And even she was one of the first that I actually, you know, coined the term hormonal flu, because she had all of that achiness and fever right before her periods. But she also had some autoimmune conditions. She had Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which basically means it was her immune system was attacking her thyroid and didn't allow her thyroid to produce enough of a thyroid hormone. It was actually getting worse as she was going through perimenopause. So she thought she had it under control, and then perimenopause made everything worse. She'd been suffering with these symptoms for about 3 years. She had tried bioidentical hormones. You know, at first her doctors tried to put her on birth control pills. That didn't feel right. She went on bioidentical hormones. She still had a lot of breakthrough symptoms, and she still couldn't, wasn't dealing with the Hashimoto's aspect of it at all. So what I did is I started giving her the hypothalamic support, the Genesis Gold, because her Hashimoto's antibodies were so high, the anti-thyroid antibodies were so high, I added extra Sacred 7 to it to bring those down a little bit faster. So her immune system wasn't constantly attacking her thyroid. And so we got her thyroid corrected fairly quickly and were able to reduce her bioidentical hormones. I switched her from the oral progesterone she was taking to a transdermal that I've actually compounded called GenPro. It just has a much cleaner absorption, and it's highly concentrated. And so we were able to regulate her progesterone levels without knocking her out. So she could take a little bit during the day for her anxiety and her moodiness, and a little bit more at night to help her to sleep. And then estradiol transdermally. I think we experimented with this patient using a sublingual form of estradiol, which also works very well. When you put estrogen underneath the tongue, it bypasses the first bypass of the liver, so you don't have to worry about clots. She did really, really well progressing through this. It took a good 6 months, though. This wasn't overnight, but it took a good 6 months to really see those antibodies reduce and her really feeling like she had energy again, and she was sleeping through the night. She started having a little more energy and a little better sleep right away, but really back to what she felt was her true self. It took about 6 months, and she just felt a lot better. Now, this was a while ago, so we're talking, she was one of my first patients with these conditions. We're talking about 20 years ago. So now she's in her 60s, and her biological age is in her mid-40s. Okay, so chronological age is how long you've been on the planet. Biological age is what your cells are doing. What are the inflammatory markers? How are they functioning? Traditionally, my patients who have been on Genesis Gold for like 8, 10, up to 20 years, as long as it's been around, they are measuring biologically anywhere from 10 to 20 years younger than their chronological age.
That's incredible.
Which means that they're aging more slowly, which is not a bad thing, right?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. That's phenomenal. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you think there's anything we missed today?
Well, I'd like to give your audience, besides my hypothalamus reset bundle at thehormonequeen.com/advisor, one more little tip. And I think one of the biggest things that we have when we're going through the change is a sense of anxiety, kind of dread, a little desperation. Our nervous system is a little wired. So there's some new research that shows that if you hum, you actually stimulate your vagal nerve, and that will calm your body down. You'll produce more GABA. So if you can find a song, I use a lullaby to sing to my babies, but it could be any song that you can hum for about 5 minutes a day, you'll start calming down your nervous system. And whenever you're in a stressful situation, when somebody's picking up, or there's 10 people picking up those chip bags and they're driving you nuts, start humming to yourself, and your nervous system will calm down because you're going to produce more GABA and you won't be so reactive to what's going on.
Well, I love that tip. I'm going to use that for sure.
We're going to test you on it next time, Lisa.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I was like literally considering wearing my noise canceling headphones, like, which is extreme. Like, that's extreme because that's how sensitive I felt that day.
That's your sympathetic nervous system on overdrive because you're in that perimenopausal. You're right about to start your period. Your progesterone levels have dropped, estrogen levels have dropped, and you don't have the hypothalamic support. Your sympathetic nervous system, which the hypothalamus controls, was on overdrive. And you had to stay in line because you still had to get your stuff, but you were literally feeling like you were being attacked, like, you know, a plague of locusts were coming after you.
Yeah, and I can't eat like in a restaurant with a bunch of people around that time either because of the sound of people chewing and like the forks and knives on plates. It's like extremely loud. So I'm gonna use those
And
tips and I'm gonna
that
start
wasn't
humming.
an issue for you as a younger woman. You didn't have, it's
Pardon?
called misophonia, where you're irritated by sounds. That wasn't an issue when you were younger.
It was, but it's getting worse.
Okay. All right. So I've actually had quite a few younger patients that have misophonia that once we support their hypothalamus, that calms down.
Wow, that's incredible.
Because it's an overactive sympathetic nervous system. It's
Yeah,
basically
that
telling
makes a
you,
lot of
I'm in
sense.
danger. I'm in danger. And it's like, no, it's bags of chips. You're okay.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, for sure. Well, this conversation has been so interesting. Thank you so much for being here today and for talking about it. Where can people find more information about you? Tell us about your website and your products.
My website is genesisgold.com. It's named after my main product, which is Genesis Gold. That's the foundational support. It is a powder. You can drink one drink per day. Sacred Seven are the amino acids. It's bagged separately so that if you're hypothyroid or you need extra support, you can take that separately or in addition to Genesis Gold. Genpro, the transdermal progesterone and a liposomal base that I used to compound with a compounding pharmacist for 30 years, is now over the counter, also on my website. Plus, you can find all of my books. Besides the Hypothalamus Handbook, another book that will be really good for this audience is my Menopause Action Plan book, which allows you to develop your own menopause action plan, kind of like a birth plan for menopause, and help you to learn about all the hormones that are going awry during menopause and what you can do about it and what should be replaced. It's all the questions your provider should be asking you and doesn't have the time to, so you can fill out your plan and go to them and say, okay, I know what I need.
It's amazing. And we're going to make sure to link all of that in the show notes as well. So thank you so much. This has been such an amazing conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And every time Deborah is on the show, I always walk away realizing that our bodies are so much smarter than we give them credit for. So today, Deborah reminded us that menopause isn't simply the end of something, it's a transition. And when we understand what's happening upstream, we can stop blaming ourselves and start supporting our bodies in a completely different way. So if today's episode resonated with you, be sure to download Deborah's free hypothalamus reset bundle using the link in the show notes. And you can also learn more about Deborah, her books, Genesis Gold, Sacred Seven, and schedule a root healing consultation through the links below. You're not going to want to miss the next episode because we're going to be talking about another frustrating problem that affects millions of people. Weight that won't move. So stay tuned for the next episode, everyone. Thanks. Take care. Bye for now.